okay.
I guess what we're looking for is the council's thoughts on this situation.
We received her letter.
This is regarding our sewer issue we've been having.
It says there's no issue with the city line, and if you can tell me there's no issue with that connection from the city line?
We just want the council's.
I guess you're engineer and I'm not.
And that's really all we're looking for.
Okay, is there any response, council? You want to respond? Staff? Catherine?
I guess if the Simmons have any additional evidence that they wish to present to the council, they can leave that for the council and staff to consider, but I have provided a response based upon the city's review of the information and facts that we had at our disposal, and I don't have anything further to add to that response at this time.
Did you have an engineer look at anything?
We have had our staff and engineers look at our documents.
Take it. The next step, no.
Okay. Is there any other citizen input? Hearing none. Item two on our agenda is the approval of the agenda. Council's had a chance to review the agenda. At this time, I'd entertain a motion to approve our agenda tonight.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Motion's been made and seconded to approve tonight's agenda. All those in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. Item three, consent agenda. I'd entertain a motion to approve our consent agenda for tonight.
I'll make that motion for the consent agenda.
Second. Motion has been made and seconded to approve our consent agenda. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Moving on to our current business, 4.1, council candidate interviews. Tonight, the council is going to interview three candidates who have submitted applications for replacing Dan Deaver on the Othello City Council. And we have decided to go in alphabetical order. So tonight, we've received those applications, and we have questions that we prepared that the council, that the candidates have all seen and had a chance to respond to. Our first candidate was Larry McCourty, who spoke at the June 9th City Council meeting. And so tonight, we're going to start with Ken Taylor. Ken, you can either take a chair or go to the lectern. We have a microphone there, so it'll probably be best there. Where you're at. Yes. So, good evening. Thank you for coming. Thank you for applying, Ken. Our first question for you tonight is, describe your contributions to this. Yes? Oh, I'm sorry. Excuse me. I'm being advised of what our format is going to be. You have 5 minutes to give some particulars about yourself, tell us why you're running, and then you're going to have 2 minutes to answer five questions, and then the mayor has an impromptu question, which will be question number six, and you'll have 2 minutes to respond to the impromptu question. So, what we have, I need to outline, Becky Ozuna is going to keep the time for us. She will hold up a 30-second time frame. Everybody see that? That means you've got 30 seconds to wrap it up, and then after that, she'll hold up the time, and then if you don't stop voluntarily, the chair will cut you off, okay?
Okay, I got one question.
Yes.
When you're talking about 5 minutes for the first section, when you talk about the 2 minutes, is that per question?
Per question, yes.
That's fine.
Okay. So the idea is most all of you are known to the city council, and so we know a little bit about your background. What we're trying to determine is, can you be clear and concise in communicating your message? So with that, Becky, would you start the timer? You have 5 minutes, Ken.
Okay, yeah, I'm Ken Kaler. Most of you know me. I've been around the area for many, many years. I kind of tied this into the question, but anyway, I'll try to break this out. I come here in 1951, so I'm not a newcomer to the area. I know what happened way back when. I saw the irrigation project come in effect. I wasn't very big, but I was here. I remember when the first water come down the canal. As a matter of fact, when I first come to town, they were still digging the canal north of town here, about 2 miles. So that kind of gives you a quick background. I went to school in Othello, graduated from Othello High School, first one in the what we used to call the new high school, which you still have, and then I went 1 year college in WSU. I had several different businesses. I was in the bee business for many years. Matter of fact, I made American Farmer in the FFA in high school through that. Continued that for many years. But my dad was in the construction business and he kept pulling me over here. He says, come on, Ken, you gotta help me. So I stayed in the construction business. And then later he passed away. So I continued in that. And later in 1966, I moved to Western Washington and continued in construction for 30 plus years. I've built many projects, large, small, from small things to high rises, several different projects, which I think is directly related to what we do here in Othello. We've got a variety of construction, we do a lot of different things, and that's part of the reason that I was on the council previous, and I think I've got a lot of knowledge of construction. We come back here in 1992 and started a small business here in town, and I went back to my favorite thing called the bee business, and I still do that to a small extent, and it's kind of a pastime, but it gets to be a lot of work at certain times, and that's basically what you know about me. I've been on a lot of different committees and done a lot of different things here in town, and I think the questions will pretty well answer a lot of those things that I could continue on talking about here, but I don't think that I need to do that. I think my reputation pretty well speaks for itself of what I have done and what I will continue to do for the city of Othello.
Thank you. Okay. Tonight, our first question for you, Ken, is describe your contributions to the city of Othello and or what you have accomplished for the city of Othello. You have 2 minutes.
Okay, well, I pretty well presented what I did in the past and why I have some background and what goes on. But in the last 11 years, I worked with the Cooley Corridor in supporting and promoting the Cooley Corridor National Scenic Byway, which Othello was the South Gateway, and I continue to do that and will continue to do that. Adams County Development Board, Council, I guess you want to call it, a museum board, Othello Beautification, chaired the Othello Centennial Committee, Citizen of the Year 2012, not to mention 8 years on the City Council, and a lot of things that we accomplished during that time. Major structural work and repaving of Main Street, Broadway. Redone our swimming pool, which you might say we have a new swimming pool. A lot of problems we had in the city with some of our drainage problems that we had, and things like that. I think that pretty well covers what I've done to help out the city.
Okay, thank you. Question number two, Ken, you have 2 minutes. What personal skill or attribute would you bring to the council that would help it govern the city?
Well, like I say, after 8 years on the council, I think that's pretty good experience in itself. There was a lot of knowledge there and a lot of things that have come up and problems that we've solved and whatnot through the council. Like I say, 35-plus years of construction. I know the backbone of what construction's all about, and the pluses and the minuses, including your changes and whatnot that a lot of people like to run in on some of your projects that we try to keep away from paying that extra dollar that's vague in the deal. Know a lot about the codes and the building issues, the national building code, the state building codes. A little vague on some of them because they keep changing. I've done a lot of work in Olympia on different things and projects, even for the city of Othello, transportation issues, working with state legislators and our federal senator and congressman on tourism issues and the Columbia Basin project. Worked with Guama on this surface water replacing our deep wells, which is beneficial to Othello. And we also have that study going on at the present time. And that's part of it to relieve the pressure from our aquifers. So that's kind of a rundown of that portion of it.
Okay. Thank you very much. Question number three. You have 2 minutes. What is your vision for Othello, Ken, for the next 5, 10, or even 20 years?
Well, Othello's grown steady in the last 60 years. It's had a pretty even flow. It's not like a lot of towns. They have a lot of spikes up and down, big percentages and whatnot. We haven't really had that problem. We've had a steady growth, and I think that's been a big help to not only the community, the citizens, but the council and everybody involved. As we know, agriculture is our base. It's our economic income. But we have other things that we need to do. One thing is the Columbia Basin project is to finish that project. And if we did that, what a huge thing that would be for Othello. We could truly say that we are the heart of the Columbia Basin, because a lot of that would come right here to Othello. And I think that's one of the big things that we should look at. We need business for diversification. In case the ag portion is down, well, we need somebody to pick up some of those slow times. We need to work with the school district to either create a junior college or a branch of WSU in this area. We're getting close to the time that we should really seriously be thinking about that particular part. And a couple little other items, not little, I call them big. My pet peeve is the community center. We need that in Othello, and we've been working on it for several years here to accumulate some money to make that happen. And in addition of our parks for enjoyment of the citizens.
Thank you, Ken. Question number four, you have 2 minutes to answer. What do you see as the biggest challenge facing Othello and its citizens today?
Water, gas. I'll relate that a little different here, but anyway, water, gas, and electricity, and the infrastructure in using surface water in more expanse of using our precious deep water. We need to do something to not use all that water, because one of these days it's going to be gone. And the only way it's going to actually get replaced is another ice age flood. And I don't think we want that. But that's the only way it's going to get replaced. So we got to look at all other alternatives too. Like I said, we're working with Guama, trying to come up with an issue to get some of our surface water to replace some of that, which will take a huge impact off of the deep water. We need to work with Williams and Cascade Natural Gas for gas in this area. It's not only Othello, it's the whole Eastern Washington. We all need gas to continue what we have started. and we're out of it. I mean, sure, they say you got this and that, but every time they add pressure to the lines, what do? They blow the line or whatever. They can only do so much to it. So there's a lot of infrastructure got to be involved in that portion to make that happen. Our electricity, we need to be able to compete with PUD. And the other thing is we need to work more with the port, irrigation district, county, and the state to get more of this done and to get some of our infrastructure done for those so they can continue what they got. And work with the Department of Agriculture, or Department of Transportation.
Your time's up.
For Highway 17, 26, and 24.
Thank you, Ken.
And my population, 15,000, like 2,035.
Question number five. You have 2 minutes. If you could change one thing about the city, what would that be?
You know, I thought about that a long time. What is one thing? The only thing I come up with is a better working relationship with various groups in the city, community, port, county. And then the other thing I come up with is have Dan Deaver back on the council, but at least continue his thoughts and ideas.
Thank you. The last question, an impromptu question. You served from the mayor. You served for 8 years on the fellow city council and then were defeated in the election last fall. Why do you want to continue to serve?
A couple reasons. One is I've had a lot of people ask me to come back, finish my job. A few things that I think that we need to concentrate on. And I think that's probably basically the main reason, because I've had a lot of people ask me. I get a lot of thought. That's why I waited till the last day to turn mine in, because I thought, well, do they want me or not? Until I got phone calls and I got people asking me and saying, hey, we need you back on the council. I'm not giving any bad thoughts about anybody that's on the council now, but they notice that there's something missing there. Then you lost Dan along with it. And then Dan and I talked before he passed away that he was thinking about stepping down and he wished I could take his place. So I'm not blowing any smoke or anything, but that's the honest truth.
Okay, thank you very much, Ken.
Okay.
Our next council candidate is Mike Crozier. Michael Crozier. Michael has stated for the record that he suffers from disability, and he has asked for 40% more time on his answers. And so after evaluating it, I decided to grant it. So Michael, you have 7 minutes on your opening statement. You don't have to take it all, but and then you'll have the five questions that you've been given. You'll have 2 minutes and 40 seconds for each of those, and then on the sixth question, the impromptu, you'll have 2 minutes and 40 seconds.
Okay, thank you very much. Mayor, City Council, my name is Michael Crozier. I've lived in the city since 1976. previously, I was a city councilman. You have a copy of my 7-page resume of all my professional qualifications and know that I'm a graduate engineer of one of the most prestigious engineering colleges in the United States. And I did my graduate work at Washington State University. Why would I make an especially good councilman? Well, I don't think that I'd be fooled by a lot of things that have happened in the past. It appears that there's a definite lack of sensitivity towards the affairs of the public, minorities, the disabled, and taxpayers' money. I would always operate on the basis of best value, earned value, as judged by the basis of the test of return on investment of our tax money for the taxpayer. For instance, the council has seen some of my analysis forms in terms of systems diagrams that showed the council how it was being wasteful, causing citizens' taxes to be run around in a circle, running up the fixed and variable costs of government. But is that all the story? No, it's not. No other council person has brought this kind of systems analysis to council in the past. I have written corrections to the scopes of work proffered to our consultants because the scope of work approved by this council for these ADA studies were incomplete. No other sitting council person has ever done that, to my knowledge. Finding myself permanently disabled, I take these issues seriously, especially when the city has its liability neck out on the chopping block for injuries sustained by disabled people. Having ignored these ADA requirements for 30 years and tried to maintain the guise of plausible deniability by preventing these issues from becoming part of the public record, I would not be trapped into that claim litigation situation which you find yourselves now with the United States Department of Justice. Through training and experience, I already knew about them and I knew that they were a law of the land and that your administrator was failing to recognize them and used them to cause injury. I would not have been trapped in a situation where council appointed an ex-councilman who had been voted out of office to a position that required him to be a sitting councilman in your very first meeting. We wrote a review of that incident for the mayor, outlining how council had intentionally subverted the due process of government. No review was produced by any other council person, to my knowledge. I would have discovered early on that the $860,000, which is a big bone of contention in this community, was diverted from the street fund to your investment account by careful analysis of the budget. I would have understood the history of the people's witches and not been allowed the proposal to change where the money goes to reach the floor of this legislative body. I would have recognized that the Main Street project was going over schedule by demanding schedules and proper estimates to complete for the work that had to be done. Had proper schedules been prepared, council would have had visibility into the need to clear the purchase of additional right-of-way on Olympia Street. You received a letter from Kurt, your previous engineer, back in 2000 that said you had to purchase that. It wasn't purchased until 2 weeks before the bid opening, some 10 years later. There's also a portion of the right-of-way that goes on Olympia Street from, I believe, 3rd or 4th to Broadway, which has utilities in it, but there's no right-of-way in our possession at this time. I wouldn't have been fooled by that because I know you can get that through eminent domain, and I would have scheduled it such that that actually could have happened. I would have known the zoning rules well enough that I wouldn't have placed a C1 zone, which can contain a pornography store, in the vicinity of a school and along the traffic pattern that goes to that school. I would have known and contributed that knowledge. The city building department has allowed deficient buildings that don't meet code to be built by some of the members of this body. I know that the future of this community revolves around one thing, and that's the leadership of this council to resolve the community's problems through technical analysis against mutually agreed on criteria between the people and the council. But I don't see any real analysis going on, or modeling in some cases, and I can provide that. I have contributed these skills and sensitivities in some instances to the ADA issues that embarrass the council members, and I truly believe that they are sorely needed on the council where they don't seem to exist. So I would like to bring these skills, sensibilities to council, since none of the other candidates have these skills or sensibilities, and it appears the council sorely needs them based on the errors that have been committed here. So I'm ready to answer the questions now.
Thank you, Mike.
How much time do we use?
You stayed within your 7 minutes.
Okay.
Okay, using a quick calculation, you actually have 40% more would be...
I'm finished with that part of it.
Okay.
I wouldn't have been fooled by a lot of the things that everybody seems to be fooled by and that are coming to haunt you.
Okay. Question number one, Mike. You have 2 minutes and 40 seconds. Please describe your contributions to the city of Othello and or what you have accomplished for the city.
Well, I've worked pretty extensively with the Chamber of Commerce in the past 3 or 4 years since I retired. And I've written all the questions for their candidates forum for the last 2 years. And I started writing those questions about 3 years ago. Some of you people have had to answer and know how cute those questions were. I've also worked with the Chamber of Commerce to develop the criteria for the RBOG grant, which is through the U.S. Department of Agriculture. It's for community development, and that particular grant was for $370,000, and we're just waiting now for an opportunity to resubmit it to U.S. Department of Agriculture. And that is for a long-term economic benefit to the city of Othello. That project is. I also have worked on an RBEG grant, setting up all the schedules and everything else for that, and a major part of the input. I'm part of the Caribou Bridge Commission, which is a small group of people that think that we should have our access to Hanford restored. I've served on the library board. I've served on the Civil Service Commission. I've served on the Planning Commission. And as I said, I served in the City Council previously. I've written about 30 articles for the newspaper for how things should be changed for citizens' benefit or to cause the citizens to think about what we're doing and where we're going. I was the mayor's representative to Williams Brothers in Tulsa, Oklahoma to discuss natural gas issues with them in 1985. The same issues exist today and have not moved one iota. Except we are talking now through the port and through the Port of Royal City to the Department of Energy for tapping their gas supply that goes to the 224A evaporator. That would mean that we would go 22 miles for gas instead of the 37.5 miles to the existing gas line with a larger line. And we would be sharing these costs with Royal City and Mattawa.
Okay, time is up. Question number two. You have 2 minutes and 40 seconds, Michael. What personal skill or attribute would you bring to the council that would help it govern the city?
Well, since in the past I've worked for Mayors Muscat and Meisner on special projects, I would bring all that knowledge of the history that they have passed down to me that's gone on in Othello. I have studied the Othello Municipal Code extensively. And in fact, even had a copy of that in my possession when I was city councilman, which no other city councilman had. I've asked a lot of questions to get to the root cause of the problem the city faces in the next 100 years, and I believe that we've identified what those are through the citizens' committee that the mayor chairman. I've traveled in my professional career a lot, 1 year almost 200,000 miles, and I've seen how other cities do things and tried to learn the good lessons learned and understood why some of the attempts at more enlightened government have failed for them. I think through this insight that I would be better able to serve the citizens with that in mind. I have the ability to study complex problems, to reduce them to understandable levels, and produce graphics and presentations so everyone has visibility into the problem and propose solution consequences. That way, decisions are based on executive decision science instead of knee-jerk emotion. I'm done.
Okay. Thank you, Mike. Question number three. What is your vision for Othello for the next 5, 10, or 20 years? You have 2 minutes and 40 seconds.
Well, 5, 10, and 20 years. If nothing changes, it won't change. It won't be much more, 10 or 15% bigger in 5 years. If we get on top of our problems, it may change a lot. We have to work hard to solve these problems, not just band-aid our infrastructure problems. And in the past, that's what's been attempted, is just to go from band-aid to band-aid to band-aid. In order to have a reasonable vision, we have to understand the problems, begin a dialogue about them, and get the best ideas from everyone, including your neighbors and other cities. Specifically, we need to solve our resource problems of water, natural gas, and electricity. And soon, we'll be dealing with our sewage treatment facility. I served on council the last time we dealt with the sewer issue, so I have confidence that my experience will be an asset. In the next 5 years, we will have to start enforcing our building code and get that function of consumer protection for our citizens functioning again. My 10-year vision is, well, the first step, we have to study the success stories of other citizens or other communities like Ellensburg and Richland. They have developed a municipal corporation such that they can have their own gas, electricity, internet, or whatever utility they choose to run. Seattle City Light, Ellensburg City Light, and Richland City Light are really good examples of this. We have to have closer relations through our next 10 years with our neighbors. The basin has less than 150,000 people and a state of nearly 3 million. That's not much of an economic Baptist win when we need support from our legislators. By banding together, we can leverage our strengths as a region. We have to be industrious and creative in getting our piece of the pie and jump in and go after opportunities when the time is right. We have to keep our eyes open, and we really haven't done that.
Thank you. Question number four, you have 2 minutes and 40 seconds, Michael. What do you see as the biggest challenge facing Othello and its citizens today?
Well, I think gaining confidence in its government. In the past, the government has done some things that have shaken the confidence of the average citizen to the core. Projects have been untapered and privileges handed out, creating circumstances that are discriminatory and establish precedences which will come back to bite us in the pocket.
Okay, thank you. Question number five. Michael, you have 2 minutes and 40 seconds. If you could change one thing about the city, what would that be?
I would change the city's access. I would change the city's access to education. We have 37% of our population that doesn't have a high school education. Pretty sad. I'd change access to jobs, not just jobs in agribusiness where the median income is only about $24,500 a year here, but access to real jobs in real industry. We have a huge industrial park that's 625 square miles that exists within 20 miles of us, and we have never done anything about it. We've never gone to them with our handout. All of our neighbors around have gone to them with their handout and got all kinds of infrastructure things. The only time anybody from Adams County has gone to them with their handout is when the fire chief and I went to the Department of Energy and asked them for a grant for emergency services. And part of the reason why you have the emergency services that you have today is because of that work that we did. I've changed access to cultural activities. We don't have any cultural activities to go on here. There's no symphony that comes and plays here. There's no summer theater to keep kids off the street. There's nothing like that going on. I changed access and plan to move forward to the next economic level. And that means you sit down, you do the hard work, you slush the mud, you develop the statistics, you go to the people that count, and you ask for the money, or you ask for assistance, or you create a climate for business so they want to come here. That's not the case as it exists now. So I would change that. And in one word, summing that all up, I would change the one thing that Othello doesn't have, and ask access to all of these different activities and features of our community.
Thank you, Michael, for your impromptu question. You, in the last several years, have written a number of editorials to the Othello Outlook, much of them critical of the council and some of its actions. And so with that has come criticism of you that you have difficulty working within groups. And so what could you say to this city council, who will decide your fate tonight, that would convince them that you would be willing to work within the confines of a group?
Well, what I would say is look at the history. The history is that we have brought each one of these problems that we have written about to this council, and this council has done nothing about them. We have identified these through various means, statistics, whatever, and brought them to the leadership here, and no one has done anything. So we have taken our case to the people. And obviously, the people believe what we have to say because we very religiously research it, unlike some of the decisions that have been made here. So what I'm saying is we offer those skills here. And if you want to listen, fine. If you don't want to listen, then there's consequences to the whole community, as there has been in the past. Part of the reason why we are in the situation that we're in right now is because 40,000 carloads of building materials went through this town in 1943, and none of the railroad mayors said, oh, what's that? Why don't we get our piece of the pie? Why is our ferry access cut off across the Columbia River? Why don't we have access to all these high-paying jobs? Nobody asked that question. So if you want to condemn me for being critical, all I've done is ask the questions that should have been asked. Thank you.
Thank you, Michael. Our next council candidate is Angel Garza. Welcome tonight, Angel.
Thank you.
You have 5 minutes to introduce yourself to the council and state why you're running and give any background that you would like.
My name's Angel Garza, and I've lived here in Othello for 52 years. I was born in Portland, shortly moved into Othello, and I've been a citizen since 1963. And the reason I'm running is I've lived in Little Mexico pretty much all my life when I was growing. And I was the kind of kid that as soon as I crossed the tracks, I was always, you know, pointing out things, issues that, you know, as a little kid, things that I didn't like, you know, things that says if I, you know, follow an adult, I would change this, I would change that. As a kid, as a 10, 12, 13 year old kid, you know, coming into town and seeing things that should have been changed, or could have been changed. I think my skills for the council would benefit the city of Othello. Like I said, I love this town. I was born, I was raised here, and I care for this community. You know, I'm a member of the Assembly of God Church. Been there for 25 years, been on the board. Also, I've served in the children's ministries for over 12 years. As serving this community, my thought has always been, since this is about the community, my thought has always been, how can I better this community in different ways, not only in the construction part of it, but also in bringing up kids in the right way, teaching them the Word of God, bringing them up the right way. How can we can't change a city, we can't change a town from one day to another, but we can start changing them, you know, from today on. So that's been a vision for me, and something that I've kind of grew up with in this town, is to better this town in every aspect they can. You know, I don't have a college degree. I did not graduate. I went to 11th grade, but I've built 6 businesses from ground up, and I should say successful businesses. So I think in with my entrepreneurial skills, I can be of benefit to this community.
Thank you, Angel. Question number 1, you have 2 minutes. Describe your contributions to the city of Othello and or what you have accomplished for the city.
Like I said a little bit ago, I've been here 52 years. I've served in the church board for several years as a deacon. I've served as in the department of superintendent for church ministries for several years. So once again, I bring that to light, but I believe that's a benefit to our community. I have built 5 businesses from ground up: Angel Garza Trucking, also a fertilizer plant that was sold later to Bruce, dealt with city people, dealt with county, dealt with state. We supplied the state for pretty much for 3 years, pretty much every mile within the state, we de-iced the roads. Also, we have AMJ Leasing, that's another business that we have. And then, as you guys all know, Palos Verdes Development. So, and throughout everything that we do, in every construction, in every area, in every step that we take, we're always thinking, how can we better this community? I live here, my kids live here, and my grandkids are here. So, in my thought is, how can I better our community?
Thank you. Question number 2, you have 2 minutes. What personal skill or attribute would you bring to the council that would help it to govern the city?
Pretty much all the skills that I can bring is what I've been taught myself, what I've taught myself. You know, as growing up, these businesses that I've started is just experience. Like I said, I didn't have a school, I didn't graduate, went up to 11th grade, but I got 5 successful businesses that I, you know, that today I can say they're on a positive note. I'm very good with numbers. With that being said, you know, building that fertilizer plant, building that salt plant, building the trucking over here, now building this development over here, I got the skills that I have, or just the skills that I know that is by experience. That's what I think I can give that to the city. Not only in the developer side of it, the builder side of it, but as a citizen of Othello also, because I'm on both sides.
So. Thank you, Angel. Question number 3, you have 2 minutes. What is your vision for Othello for the next 5, 10, or 20 years?
My vision is growth, and it's always been like this since I was a kid. You know, bringing in new businesses into town, and not only in bringing in that business, but also having that business be an example for others that are coming in. I believe in bringing in businesses into this town and being an example, I think others will follow. So my vision is growth, and my vision is to bring in more business at the same, you know, at the same time. For example, the beautifying committee, I believe that's a great thing, you know. And everything that we do for this town, and our vision that we have for this town, my vision that I have is, how can I make this town look better? What can we do in this community for the guy that comes in and drives through here to say, man, that was a nice town? That's a vision for me.
Thank you. Question number four, Angel. You have 2 minutes. What do you see as the biggest challenge facing Othello and its citizens today?
My biggest is Othello being run down, to be honest with you. An example, you know, we have to lead by example. If me as a citizen and me as a business person cannot set examples for the others that are coming in, that's the way the others are going to follow. If that development that we're putting together, sorry, I get excited. If I don't care about it, and I do whatever I want, how I want it, that means quite a bit. You know, if I beautify it, if I make it look good, the next guy that comes into Othello is going to want to do the same thing. That's just the way it is. Coming into Othello here on Highway 24, I got our truck in. You know, ever since we built that place used to be run down, you know, when we purchased it 15 years ago. We built it up, we built the shop, we put gravel, we beautified it, we made it look good. It's not by coming in on Cunningham, that's coming in on 24, but I cared about people that came in through there. So we cleaned it up, we put some bushes, you know, it's one of them things. To me, in keeping up Othello, my worry is, what can we do to better this community? And it's a challenge to keep it up, because in that challenge, it's the citizen, it's a business, it's public works, it's you guys, it's all of us working together.
Thank you, Angel. Question number five, you have 2 minutes. If you could change one thing about the city, what would that be?
That's quick. I would like to see the city planner, public works, the citizens, and with all of us work together. I would really like to see that. For example, if it was me, Simon came up here. I really want, you know, there's right-of-ways here within this town. If I'm a homeowner and the right-of-way broke, if there's a break beyond the right-of-way, you need to prove to me why I'm going to fix that. And it can't be just by word. You got to show them why that they're fixing it. And there's a lot of other examples here in town that really upset me. Council, you know, we should work together. If the city is due to pay that bill, the city should pay it. If the citizen is due to pay that bill, the citizen should pay it. If the business did something wrong, the business should pay for it. It shouldn't just, you know, you get a letter and fix it, just like that. That's not right. And I got other stories that come within this board that I won't even mention. So I would like for everybody to work together. That's all I want to see. That's all I want to see. If we don't work together, and then the growth is not going to be there.
Thank you, Angel. The last question is an impromptu question from the mayor. And my question to you is I've seen and learned over the last year and a half, you know, actually I've seen longer, but what I've come to know a lot better, your personal story as far as what you have done business-wise and the businesses that you listed on your application for the city council. My question for you is, are you really going to have time to commit to the city council as far as being able to be a member of a committee, of the different committees that require time, personal time, which right now members of the council appear in those, during work hours, to come here and meet with city staff and go over things. And so my question to you is do you think you have the time to properly contribute?
Well, if Terry turns off my class, I can be here the next day. We're about done with the development side of it, and we're going to start the construction. We have started already. I do have time. You know, I'm not on the board as a deacon in our church anymore, as far as being superintendent for children's ministries. I left that position last year. I am in charge of children's ministries as a pastor for next service. And the trucking part, the trucking company, I sold to my son. He's taking care of it. He's 100% of it. We do have the leasing part of it. We do have Northwestern Ag, which is a salt company, which my son is running. Pretty much my side of it is building homes and building on that commercial property here from here on out. So to answer that question, yes, I do have time. I believe it.
Thank you very much, Angel. All right, we'll move on to item 4.2 on our agenda, executive session. Council will now adjourn at 7:51 p.m. to go into an executive session pursuant to RCW 42.3.110G to review the qualifications of an applicant for public employment. The executive session is expected to last 20 minutes, and no action will be taken during the executive session. So at this time, I would like to have Wade and Catherine remain in the executive session, and the rest of the staff and the public, would you please adjourn to the outer foyer for the next 20 minutes? Thank you. Are we ready, Rebecca? Okay. Can everyone hear me? Anybody having any difficulties hearing me? Raise your hand. Okay. We're going to now come out of executive session and move to item 4.3, selection of new council members. At this time, I would say that the council has had a very good and spirited, lively executive session discussing the qualifications and the each of the different candidates. And now, at this time, I would entertain a motion to appoint our next council member.
I'll make a motion to appoint Andrew Garza to fill the vacant city council position.
We have a motion made and seconded now to appoint Angel Garza as the to fill the vacancy for the Othello City Council. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor of Angel Garza being appointed to fill the vacancy of the term of Dan Deaver, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Aye.
Motion carried. 4-1. All right. At this time, I'd like to call Angel Garza forward. I'm going to maybe stand over here. I am going to administer the oath of office. You're going to take your seat right now. So if you'll raise your right hand and repeat after me. Aye. Angel.
Aye. Angel.
Angel Garza.
Angel Garza.
Do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
That I will support the Constitution and laws of the United States.
That I will support the Constitution and the laws of the United States.
And the Organic Act.
And the Organic Act.
And laws of the state of Washington.
And laws of the state of Washington.
And that I will faithfully and impartially perform and discharge.
And I will faithfully
and impartially
perform
and discharge The duties of the office.
The duties of the office.
Of a fellow city council.
Of a fellow city council.
According to law.
According to law.
To the best of my abilities.
To the best of my ability.
So help me God.
So help you God.
All right. Congratulations. I'd like to invite you to come and sit with the city council and welcome you as a fellow city council's newest member. Since this is the first meeting, I don't believe we have... I don't believe we have a iPad set up, but we'll make sure that we have that for you here by the end of this week.
Okay.
Will you share it with Mark? Thank you. Congratulations, Angel.
Thank you.
So moving on into our agenda, we, item 4.4, Marijuana Zoning Moratorium Ordinance. Catherine?
Thank you, Mayor. This is on the agenda, two places tonight. First, for the adoption of the ordinance or consideration of adopting the extension, and also for the public hearing for consideration of public testimony on the adoption of the extension. As I reported at the previous council meeting when we discussed this, there has been some additional movement on the legal spectrum regarding the marijuana issues, and that those have not changed since I last reported to you, in particular the City of Kent case and the City of Wenatchee case that are currently under litigation. It was council's preference, given the choice of the three options, to continue on with its moratorium so that it can continue to study the issues, and hopefully we will have some additional direction from the courts before you are done with this next six-month moratorium, so that we have a better ability to implement whatever regulations the council chooses to implement at the expiration of its moratorium. So this ordinance is presented for your consideration. It will extend the current moratorium for an additional six-month period with the same work plan direction given to your planning director to continue working on possible regulations to be implemented and considered upon the expiration of the six-month extension.
Thank you, Catherine. It's my understanding that there's not been any Washington State Liquor Control Board approved licenses for the City of Othello. Is that correct?
No.
Okay.
Not for
okay. Thank you. The ordinance is before the council. At this time, the order of events is we're going to either adopt this moratorium extension or not, and then we're going to enter into a public hearing about the marijuana zoning moratorium. So with that, I'd entertain a motion to extend our moratorium on the marijuana zoning ordinance.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Okay, motion's been made and seconded. Is there any discussion on the motion? Hearing none, I'll call for the question. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Moving on to item 4.5. Marijuana zoning public hearing. This public hearing is now open at 8:21 p.m. and is being held to receive a report and public comments on the city's recent interim marijuana zoning regulations. The public hearing is required by state law, and I will now ask the city attorney to present a short report with regard to this part of the process.
Thank you, Mayor. Because the council has chosen to adopt a moratorium in the form of an emergency ordinance, the state requirement is that there be a public hearing conducted within 60 days after adopting the ordinance. So we scheduled for the convenience of doing both of them on the same night, the public hearing to follow immediately after the adoption of the ordinance. So this is the opportunity for the public, if there are any members of your community who wish to speak, to provide input to the council regarding what action you just took.
Thank you, Catherine. I will now ask for public testimony, questions, or objections to be heard from citizens. Please raise your hand so I may recognize you, and after I acknowledge you, please come to the microphone and state your name and address for the record. I will allow up to 5 minutes for each citizen. Is there anyone here tonight who wishes to speak to the relevancy of the zoning moratorium prohibiting marijuana? No one at all? Okay. Since there were no public comments, at this time at 8:22 p.m., I will close the public, close the time for public testimony. Is there any comments from the City Council about this moratorium?
How is this going to affect the medical marijuana situation that's still going on with it, too?
You are still operating with a moratorium on the medical marijuana collective garden issue as well, and we're hoping that that City of Kent case will have a Supreme Court decision before that before the expiration of your current 12-month moratorium regarding the medical marijuana. If we don't, the legislature has again promised that it will address that specific topic in the next legislative session. So either legislatively or judicially, we should have some direction.
Thank you. Any other further questions or comments? I would say that this last week at the city's conference I attended in Spokane, Wade and I had the pleasure of having lunch, unbeknownst to us originally, but subsequently with the woman who crafted the legislation, Allison Holcomb, and spoke with her at length about this whole situation with the marijuana. She said, frankly, they were surprised that it passed, but they view it as a work in progress, and they intend to help clarify things in the regulations to do it. One of the things she encourages, of course, is for us to adopt zoning because she feels like it's here to stay. Apart from her, I heard several other cities and what they are intending to do. One is to say, one particular city has decided that they will not allow marijuana in their city because it's an unfunded mandate, because there's issues with police enforcement, safety, and enforcement of the law, and it has not been funded by the legislature to date, and so until that issue is resolved, they don't intend to enact or allow that sale or growth of marijuana in their community. The other city, their position is they still consider marijuana is a federal crime to possess and or sell marijuana, and that their situation is that the state attorney general can't grant them immunity, so they don't want the legal risk that is involved with having marijuana for sale in their community, and so that's their position. So I just want to remind the council that this is our city. This is what other people are doing. We have our own local standards and our own local representation on the council. So you guys have the opportunity to do whatever you want, but I would suggest over the next 6 months that we do begin to make some progress and some decisions, many of which are needing to be resolved at the state level, legislative level, and even at the state Supreme Court level. So I think the action that the council has taken tonight is a good one, and I think that we just need more information going forward, and as Catherine mentioned, we're going to get that information, and then at that time it's going to be decision time for the council.
I have a question. How specific can we get to the zoning?
Well,
I mean, can we narrow it down to a specific location within the city that we would allow zoning for, you know, the sale of marijuana, whether it was medical or recreational marijuana?
That's one of the unanswered questions as well. If you'll recall, the Attorney General's office, when they issued their opinion was that not only did cities have the authority to ban it completely, but that cities had the regulatory authority at a local level to establish their own zoning regulations. So if that is the prevailing opinion that the courts decide is going to be the case law, then you would have complete authority to zone however you wanted, and to that would include restricting it to specific locations and imposing additional restrictions about how that business was conducted, above and beyond what the State Liquor Control Board regulations currently stipulate.
That's pretty rigid control for the State Liquor Control Board. I mean, they've got a, they actually can track the pot from the sale to somebody, an individual, back to the grower and processor who sold it to him. You know, so if somebody was out there and they were found with marijuana, they can actually trace that, the traceability back to where it was originally grown. So there's a lot of laws that are governing that today by the Liquor Control Board. It's very difficult to get that license in the first place. So if nobody's applying for it right now in the city of Othello, and we do create a zone where they could locate, we could be very specific about that zone, where it would be at. You put them somewhere on the outer edge of whatever.
Some of my jurisdictions have adopted zoning, even on an interim basis, maybe not necessarily permanent zoning, but that restricts them to the industrial areas only. And there are jurisdictions that you could take a look at examples of what additional zoning they have come up with above and beyond the State Liquor Control Board regulations. But I anticipate that that's one of the questions that is going to be addressed in the Wenatchee case, is how far the local authority goes.
But the point I kind of want to make here is that simply just because we're not allowing somebody to sell it here in Othello, Dave, you can answer this too. If somebody wanted to, they could light up the joint right out in front of City Hall and smoke it. They have the right to do that.
Well, they can't smoke it in public.
Okay.
In anywhere, but they could
smoke it.
If they were
sitting in their car?
They could smoke it in their residence in Othello, and that would not be a violation of state law. They could grow medical marijuana as an individual medical marijuana patient currently, and that's not a violation of state law. And that's not covered by your medical marijuana collective garden moratorium. So there are certain limited opportunities for consumption and use and even production within the city limits that you can't do anything about.
But a lot of us don't even know all of that yet. You know, I mean, where can you do it? And I mean, if you have a smoking room in a hotel, can a person smoke marijuana there?
These issues just keep popping up. It's like whack-a-mole. There are actually, the Spokane Valley is actually trying to come up with ways to regulate around vaping. And they are coming up with private clubs so that they get around the smoking in public issue. And they are wanting to have private clubs where they invite people to come in and vape the e-cigarettes using marijuana oils and the extracts as a club. That happened in Olympia as well. So, I mean, the issue is just the faster we can come up with solutions, the faster new issues get created. So it really is going to require some definitive judicial or legislative edicts before we get a bright line anywhere. Otherwise, we're just crafting out of the best material we can get our hands on.
Thank you, Catherine. Any other comment from the council? Okay. With that, I'll close the public hearing at 8:31 p.m. Move on to item 4.6, LGIP resolution. Court. Oh, no. Excuse me, never mind. I apologize.
I'm jumping.
ahead, Spencer.
Thank you very much. The LGIP is one of two investment portfolios that the city has. LGIP stands for Local Government Investment Pool, and they're an organization that provides investment services for not just cities, but local governments all around the state, many governments around the state. They have recently been contacting all of the organizations that they provide this investment service to, and they've been updating their definitions and updating their relationship with the organization that they provide these investment services for. We're no exception. They've recently sent us a resolution and a prospectus that identifies them as this investment organization, and it says that it just reviews the services that they provide us. Part of this resolution also identifies the person within our organization that has the authority to manage the investments that they hold on our behalf. Per the city municipal code, that person is me, the finance officer. The resolution contains me, and I've also added Donna Dietmeyer, who's our deputy finance officer. I think it's a good idea to always have a backup person, because you never know when you might want to have, when you need a little backup there. So the attached resolution identifies the LGIP as providing these investment services for us. That's fine. And it defines the relationship between the city and the LGIP. At this time, I have a copy of that resolution before you. It's one of the attachments. And I'm here tonight requesting that we accept this resolution. And that's what I have.
Spencer, thank you. Council, any questions of Spencer? Okay. Thank you, Spencer. With that, I would entertain a motion to adopt the LGIP resolution.
I'll make that motion.
Second. I have a motion made and seconded to adopt a resolution. Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you very much.
Next item on our agenda is 4.7, Consolidated Disposal Services, Inc. contract. Corey.
I want to recuse myself from any discussion or vote on this. I work for Consolidated Disposal, so.
Okay. Thank you. Corey Everett has recused himself. The remaining five council members will decide this issue. Spencer.
Thank you very much. As you know, the city contracts with CDSI for its garbage collection services. The contract that we have with CDSI is expiring here shortly in the middle of next month. The 15th of next month is the end of our current contract with them. With that in mind, for the last 5 or 6 months, the city's been in some negotiations with CDSI, looking at the services that they provide us, possibly looking at new services with the recycling option. And so what we have tonight is a new contract with new rates that we're proposing, that CDSI is proposing to the city. This contract, again, is one between CDSI and the city. So the rates in this contract are separate from the rates that the city, that residents have with the city for this collection service. The contract is very similar to what we've had for the last number of years. This current contract doesn't include the recycling option. We've been assured through CDSI, though, if the city changes its mind and we want to include this recycling option a year down the road, 2 years down the road, that we can certainly implement that as we want. So the contract itself is for a 3-year term, and the increase for residential garbage services is 3.45%. So there is a slight increase there to the city for these for the service that they provide. As you know, the garbage service that the city the city's garbage service, so that I guess you could call it the contract between the city and the citizen, those rates haven't changed since 2006. Our solid waste fund had quite a surplus in it, and the idea there was, let's keep our rates to the citizens constant. Let's keep those rates down so we can use up that surplus. The reason there's no reason to have a surplus there. This fund is called an enterprise fund, so it's supposed to work like a business, and we, the city, should be charging for the services that we provide. If we're charging too much, then we don't need to raise the rates. With that said, I've attached the contract for the next 3-year term between the city and CDSI for these garbage services, and it's the recommendation of staff and committee that we accept this contract.
Yes.
Can I have one thing? On the recycling piece, we did a very unscientific survey of all our water customers, and how many responses did we get, Becky?
1,500 that was sent. We got 271 back, which is like
70%. It's actually not a bad response, but it was overwhelmingly against doing the recycling. We had a lot of question comments, but I don't know what the percentage was. Maybe 3-2 against, a little more. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I was curious about that. I'm also curious about a couple of things. Number one, the increase that you mentioned, 2 point, is that going to have a corresponding increase to the citizens?
This one does not. We certainly want to look at the activity, the dollars in this fund. Like I said before, we haven't increased the rates to the citizens since 2006. That's 8 years. And over the last number of years, we've seen that surplus in that fund dwindling from year to year. Towards the end of this year, we'll want to revisit those rates again and hopefully find some kind of equilibrium so we're not growing a surplus unnecessarily in that fund, but also so that we're the rates that we're charging are covering the cost of the service that's being provided.
Good explanation. Spencer, the other question I have is do we have the ability to absorb the rate increase within our budget?
For this year, this rate increase? Yes. We built the budget with a 2%, estimated 2% rate increase for this year. We're halfway through the year, and we haven't seen that increase. And so really, we have a 4% cushion for the remainder of the year. And so this 3.45% falls within that cushion.
Very good. Okay. With that, I'd entertain a motion to adopt this or authorize the mayor to sign this contract with Consolidated Disposal Services for the next
3 years
with an option of 3 more.
Yeah. I'll make that motion.
Second it.
Motion's been made and seconded. Is there any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Thank you, Spencer.
Thank you very much.
Item 4.8 on our agenda is dispatch agreements, Adams County Fire District and Adams County Public Hospital District number 3. Interim Police Chief Dave Rim is going to address the council.
Mayor, council, just said on your board docs and the documents that are attached to it, has to do with contracts with the Oakville Police Department, the Adams County Fire District 5, and Adams County Public Health District 3. This is for fire tone-out response and also for emergency medical services tone-out responses. In 2013, Oakville dispatched 371 fire calls, and in that same time frame, we dispatched 573 EMS calls. Just some information for that. The current contract actually expired in January of 2000, 2014. We've been working on getting it finalized and all, and I've met with the fire chief a couple of times about it. The dollars amount for both contracts were increased by 2%. That was to match the salary increases by dispatch. This enables us to keep control of the dispatching for both of these EMS type systems here locally. And I think it's just a better response for our citizens.
Okay. Thank you, Dave. Anything further?
I would just recommend that we approve the contracts.
Thank you. Council, do you have any questions?
No, we got two different ones, one for Adams County Fire District 5 and one for the Ofelo Community Hospital. Do we need two separate motions for each one of these?
Okay. Thank you for the clarification. At this time, I entertain a motion to authorize the mayor to sign the new EMS contract for 2014 and 15.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
A motion made and seconded. Is there any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. The next motion that I would entertain is to authorize the mayor to sign the Adams County Fire District contract for dispatch services for 2014-2015. Is there a motion?
I'll make that motion.
Second.
We have a motion made and seconded. Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you, Dave. Our next item on the agenda is 4.9, Ofelo Senior Center request use of city property for farmers market. Molly?
Good evening, Mayor and Council. The city has received a request from the Ofelo Senior Center from their president, John Lackey, to renew the contract between the city of Ofelo and the Ofelo Farmers Market to begin conducting the farmers market again for the summer of 2014, beginning at 7 a.m. on July 5th, and it will run every Saturday until the end of October, which is Saturday, October 25th. With this contract, it's basically a renewal of the contract that the council approved last year. All the terms are the same except the dates. The contract has the outlined facilities that they will be approved to use, which includes Pioneer Park as well as the shelter in the park for those Saturdays throughout the event. And with the estimated attendance of 150 to 500 people per market day on each Saturday, the Ofelo Senior Center will incur the special event fee of $200 in exchange for use of these facilities throughout this contract. So with that, staff just asked the council to approve the contract with the Ofelo Senior Center for the 2014 Farmers Market.
Thank you, Molly. Council, I'd entertain a motion to approve this facility use agreement between the city and the Ofelo Senior Center.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
I'll make that motion.
I'll second it.
Let's start over. Go ahead.
Make that motion.
Second.
We'll second. Okay, a motion has been made and seconded. Is there any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Anything further on that other deal?
Finish up this one.
Oh, okay.
All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carried.
Do you want me to report?
Yes.
Okay.
If you would.
So the request of Councilman Lawless, update on who we are with our permanent farmers market. Jennifer and I did extensive research after we got the work for you guys. So it turns out we won't be able to get a grant for building the market at all. And probably nothing this year until we get it built. So it's like build it and they will come. So we're now investigating how much it's going to cost, getting several estimates to come back to you. I plan to do this next month. I have more information, but I'll talk about it now. And so it still looks like from polling, the informal poll of our citizens and you all,
still we want to go forward with it, once we get an estimate of that permanent market. The grant that we're working on says then, in for the following years, we can then go in for monies to like, to run the place, to do some upgrades and that sort of thing. But until we get it built, it's going to be hard. Now, that doesn't mean we're not still investigating other grants, but we'd like to move forward with that. And we'll come back with more information next month.
Okay.
Any questions, Council?
Okay. Thank you, Wade. Moving to item 4.10, interlocal agreement with the Othello School District. Molly, you have a report.
I do. Thank you. Last year, at the recommendation of the Parks and Recreation Committee, the City Council approved an agreement for joint use of joint use of facilities between the City of Othello and the Othello School District. Within this agreement, this helped both parties, seeing it as though it is a joint use agreement. Last year, the terms were from April 23rd until April 22nd of this year. And so there's a number of activities or events that fell under that contract that worked great for both parties. The Othello High School tennis team used the Lions Park tennis courts to do their practice throughout the season, as well as their matches that they hold each season. The summer feeding program that the Othello School District puts on is able to use Lions Park and one of our shelters in order to find a central location to house that program throughout the summer, which is weekdays throughout the summer at noon, in order to provide lunches for school-age children within the city throughout the summer. And in trade for that, the city also receives use of the school district's recreational facilities. Mainly, those are used for us, as many of you may know, we have limited soccer fields. We have four baseball fields that the city has and is able to rent out on a first-come, first-served basis. And once those, if we have a contract in place for use of those facilities, it's nice to have the backup as the school district. We are able to then schedule for their available facilities and give people another place to have somewhere to play rather than turning them away. Those are some of the benefits of having this interlocal agreement. And so with that, because the contract expired on April 22nd, the Othello School District and staff have been in discussions of just renewing that contract, same terms and facilities, just for another year, beginning when council approves it, if they so choose to do so, which we would appreciate. So I'd be happy to answer any questions on this agreement.
Council. So we'll continue on quid pro quo, as it were, with the school district. We don't receive any money from them. They don't receive any money from us, but we exchange facilities as needed.
That's correct.
Thank you, Molly.
The facilities listed in the agreement. Some are off limits.
Yes. Council, have you had a chance to review that? Okay. With that, I'd entertain a motion to authorize the mayor to sign the interlocal agreement with the Othello School District.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Motion's made and second. Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried.
Thank you.
Do you have more for us, Molly?
Yep, I got two more.
Okay. Moving to item 4.11, Radio Campesina, request use of city property for festival de la Familia.
All right. Staff recently received a request from Daniel Hernandez, who's here tonight on behalf of Radio Campesina in the Tri-Cities, to host a one-day event in Lions Park on Sunday, August 17th. The event is called Festival de la Familia. It is a free event to the public. This would actually be its 15th anniversary having this event, and the first year that it would be in Othello. It is family friendly, includes booths, vendors, and informational booths, vendors, merchandise, and also giveaways for radio listeners from the various sponsors that Radio Campesina works with. The event will also feature live music and from local bands, and those will be kind of the draw of the event for the very or for the citizens that attend. And so with this event, the Radio Campesina expects roughly 1,500 people in the park for the event, so that they would incur the $400 event fee for use of the facilities. And with that fee, Public Works would be able to provide additional garbage containers, use of the shelters within the park, and basically cover the the fees for the garbage, additional garbage disposal for that event, and porta potties as well, seeing as though the park generally does not have that many people in it at one time throughout the day, like we normally do for large events. And so setup for this event would be from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. the day before the event, which is Saturday, August 16th, from 7 a.m. to 12 p.m. on Sunday, and then the event would take place, and the cleanup would be done that night. So with that, if council has any questions regarding the event, as I said, Mr. Hernandez has graciously attended the meeting to answer any of those that you guys may have, and I'd be happy to answer any I can as well.
Mr. Hernandez, is there anything you want to add to what Molly said? Yes, please.
Thank you. First of all, I would just like to correct something. It's just the 15th anniversary is not the 15th year we've done the event. It's actually the 15th year that Campesina has been in the area since 1999, the first time that it came in here. Now it's 15 years. And since the Othello area and surrounding communities, it's the strongest point of Campesina. It's where we have most of our listeners. We would like to provide at least a festival that it's family-oriented with informational booths with different nonprofit organizations to join us along with different sponsors. And another thing that it would provide like knowledge to not just focus on the Hispanic community, but whoever comes out, you know, knowledge about their health or, for example, one of our biggest sponsors is Country Financial, that would provide information about life insurance, health insurance, auto insurance, and all this information is free to the public. Another thing that brings me to request the park and to make the event here in Othello is that we work closely with a lot of businesses here in Othello. We are in Tri-Cities, our offices are in Tri-Cities, and we do a lot of events, remotes, live broadcasts in the Tri-Cities areas, but we, as I talked to a lot of businesses here, they request, why doesn't Campesina do something here? So it's been close to 8 years since Campesina has done any events here. I do not know the history of the events, or I just know they take place, but I would just like you guys to know that Campesina is, myself, I appreciate the community of Othello because they are one of our main supporters as listeners. So it would be awesome if Campesina can make this, and the council can make this happen here in the city of Othello and celebrate 15 years. Hola, quinceañera of Campesina. So it would be great. And we have two of the main. We actually, we've been thinking about it because we already have two confirmed bands. One of them is one of the most popular bands in this area right now. So it would be great if they can come out here and play for free or entertain your community for free. And I'm pretty sure it would be an awesome event for the city of Othello, creating traffic and maybe feature business from supporting sponsors coming into the area.
Thank you, Daniel.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Council?
I just got one question. Who's responsible for cleanup at the end of the night?
We will
have the cool thing about it is that we have a lot of people that are willing to come to this event and volunteers as well. And our staff will be willing to stay throughout until the park is back and got it. So I'm just going to be as possible.
Okay. Counsel, can I entertain a motion?
I'll make the...
Second.
Okay, we have a motion?
Yes.
Made and seconded? Grant the Radio Badio Campesina and their request to use city property for their event on August 17th. Is there any discussion? All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Hernandez.
Item 4.12 on our agenda, ordinance amending chapter 5.16 fireworks. Molly?
Thank you again. I promise this is my last one. So at the June 9th regular council meeting, staff reviewed some recommendations that some of the council members had made regarding restrictions to be put in place for the newly approved fireworks code in the city that would allow fireworks to be sold and discharged within city limits. And so in order to ensure the council is able to put forth their all council members were able to put forth their recommendations, we requested for NHB sent to us to be compiled for review. And we have received two recommendations from Mayor Logan as well as council member Everett. And so their recommendations are listed below and are also included in the attached municipal code for adoption by the council. To briefly go over those, a couple things have changed since my last presentation. The fireworks prohibited are no longer listed in detail, but are just a mirror of the Washington Administrative Code 212-17050 that lists those in detail for us. So, and the days and times for the sales, use, and discharge have been amended a little. These are within those times listed in the RCW 70.77, and they differ by the days before the 4th of July. And so on July 4th, citizens are given another hour to buy fireworks. On December 31st, same thing as well, from 12 p.m. to 11 p.m. And as far as discharge goes, July 1st through July 3rd would be the 9th through the, or 9 p.m. to 10 p.m., July 4th, 9 p.m. to midnight, or 9 a.m. to midnight, and then from the 6th to, from 6 p.m. to 1 a.m. on January 1st. Nothing has been changed about restricted areas for fireworks discharge and or sales. Those are still limited, or those are still not permitted within any city of Bothell parks. And lastly, one change is made to the minimum age requirement, and so that the age to be able to sell or be given fireworks to someone would be 16 years old. And that has changed, that has dropped from 18 years old. So with that, I would just ask that council review the changes that have been made to the municipal code and to approve that if they so choose to.
Thank you, Molly. Well done.
Thank you.
Does any council have questions of Molly about our proposed fireworks ordinance and change to the federal municipal code?
So the state WAC code allows for fireworks to go on sale on the 28th, I believe.
Good catch. That was another change. They are, the time frame for buying them has been limited from July 1st to the 3rd. And that has been mirrored in December as well. You're given 4 days for them to be sold as well. So it's equal on both sides.
I got a quick question. On the discharge, we're allowing them to be discharged from 6 p.m. to 10 or to 1 a.m. on January 30 or December 31st, January 1st. Is there a reason we're saying 9 a.m. on the 1st, the 3rd, and the 4th of July?
These actually mirror what is in the WAC code are the times that we're able to do so. And so that is, I believe that's the beginning time that they're able to do so. And so the WAC code is attached. I can check real quick for you.
Some of the people like to sleep in and then drink their coffee in the morning. Well, and I was just saying, aren't most of the, correct me if I'm wrong, and I just kind of went through them, but like firecrackers and those are not allowed in the WAC code, correct?
They're illegal.
Yes. So really, I mean, unless it makes noise, you wouldn't have any, you know, it makes a lot of noise, like firecrackers or something, you wouldn't want to be doing them during the day anyway. I would say limit them to the evening, because that's when they're going to be visible.
Comment is noted. Yeah, it's the citizens' money. They want to show them off in the day and not see them. That's
but I don't want firecrackers or something going off outside when I'm sleeping in on the floor or something. You know, I can see where citizens would have an issue with them being, you know, if somebody was setting them off first thing in the morning at 9 a.m.
And my first thought when we first approached this, you know, I don't mind if they follow the WAC on when they sell them. Mm-hmm. But my personal thought is the 3rd and the 4th. The purpose of the fireworks is to celebrate the 4th of July. Let that be the day. Give them the 3rd and the 4th. But we got the 1st through the 4th on this one.
Yeah, I would follow, I'm in agreement. I would follow the WAC on the sales of the fireworks, but I would limit it a little bit more on the discharge as far as time and
there were some communities that were, I noticed going through, that limited it only to the 4th.
Okay. Well, as far as firecrackers, I can understand, you know, those are illegal, but I don't see anybody discharging at 9 in the morning as far as your flares that go up. Mm-hmm. You know, so I think it's 9 a.m. because I don't think anybody's doing it. I don't know. I just haven't seen it done.
But if you leave it at 9 a.m., you're giving them the right to do it.
Yeah.
You're giving them the right to do it.
If you leave it at 9 a.m. and somebody does it, and then that basically deters or makes it so that if we call in and complain because there's a lot of noise going on and we're, you know, it woke us up, the police are going to go, well, they have the right to do it.
So we have the right to move the time then?
Yes.
You can set it wherever you want.
Wherever we want. Okay.
And the thing about this, whatever we do tonight will not go in effect this year. It will go in effect the next year. What will be in effect this year will be all the guidelines of the WAC.
And for the record, the RCW does state that consumer fireworks can be discharged from 6 o'clock p.m. on December 31st until 1 o'clock a.m. So those are the hours of limitation.
Okay, so I've heard a lot of discussion. I've heard you guys have read or seen the ordinance that's before you. Highlights are on the agenda memo and what Molly's outlined. So the council can either act and make a change to it via motion to what was presented in the packet, or the council can leave it as it's written in the agenda memo and in the existing ordinance that we have before us, or the council can choose not to act, in which case all state law and restrictions will apply like they do this year. So at this time, I'm looking for a motion.
I'll make a motion that we enact it as it's written in our packets.
Second. Okay, we have a motion made and seconded to enact the approve the changes to the Othello Municipal Code 5.16 fireworks to include the above-mentioned restrictions. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Aye.
So let's go by, we're going to have to poll the council to get a vote. Aye or nay?
Aye.
Nay.
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 Aye. So we have 3-3.
3-3.
3 ayes, 3 nays, and the mayor is going to vote to, with the ayes, to decide it. Okay? Item 5 on our agenda is unfinished. Thank you, Molly. I'm sorry.
Thank you.
Yes. Item 5 on our agenda is unfinished business. Is there any unfinished business to come before the Othello City Council tonight? Okay. Item 6, new business. 6.1, will we have a quorum for the July 7th City Council workshop? Who's going to be here? Raise your hand.
I'll be here.
You guys will be here? You'll be here? Okay. So we will have a quorum, and we'll have a workshop. Item 6.2, council committee. Early in the year, we had had some discussions, and we'd had a local businessman concerned about non-conforming uses. Mm-hmm. And so we had asked Catherine about some direction on that, and her first question was, well, how many of these you got? And so we've now, through our code enforcement officer, have a stack of files of non-conforming uses within the city of Othello with regard to residential units. And so tonight I would like to appoint a committee of 3 to review that stack with first of all, the code enforcement officer, familiarize yourselves with what the city codes are and what is allowed and not allowed within our code, then to meet subsequently with the building and planning director, then to have a conference call with Catherine to discuss the legal issues and propose a strategy on going forward. Any other questions can be answered by Wade, and then I would ask that that committee come back to the council meeting and do a presentation of what action that they would propose for the city council to take with regard to these non-conforming uses. So with that, raise your hand if you would like to be on that committee. Got 2. I need 1 more. Angel, would you like to be on that committee?
Yeah, okay.
Okay, good. So we have, I'll appoint Angel Garza, Gina Doro, and John Lawless to be on that committee. And so I would anticipate sometime in August the presentation. That'll give you the entire month of July to review those and meet with various staff people and appreciate your contributions with regard to that. Item 7, council will receive department head May reports. And then finally, the mayor's announcements. The first announcement that I have is that the Dan Deaver committee appointments, I'd like you now to, everyone has a copy of our council committee appointments. I'd like you to review the ones that were highlighted by Becky today. Those were the council committees that Dan Deaver was on. So if there's any of those committees that you would like to serve on, be prepared to, we're going to go over those committee assignments and be prepared to volunteer for those at our first regularly scheduled council meeting in July. But also, yes.
Just so everyone's aware, there's one that's not highlighted. It's Beautification Committee.
Yes. On the, would you please mark that on your list that the Beautification Committee, Dan Deaver is also a member of that. Okay. Those are all the committees. And so for Angel's benefit, that's, you can see all the different committees that the City Council is a member of. And different council members, they hold different functions. And I think if you had a moment, you could stop by and visit with Wade, Debbie, or Becky, and they would help you, you know, so you could identify what, or myself too, what each of these committees do. Okay? The next announcement I have is the 4th of July celebration is coming up. It's going to be a great event. The city has put $10,000 towards this fireworks event, and there has been, in the past, the Othello City Council has walked in the parade for the food bank to collect food. Is there anyone here on the council that would like to do that this year in the parade? Raise your hand.
I'm going to see who I can get to walk, because unfortunately we purchased the, well, not unfortunately, but we purchased the ride on the old fire truck, so I won't be able to walk this year. But okay. I'll try to find some people that can walk with you.
Thank you. Who was it that was asking this, Wade? Do you remember? You don't remember? I'm sure it was probably Sharon from the food bank, so he would forward those names to Sharon. I'm sure she'd appreciate that. The next item is the police chief interviews. We have selected the names of four candidates to be interviewed for our next police chief to fill that vacancy. There's going to be an open house on July 8th, and then the interviews will take place on July 9th, and there's going to be four panels that will be participate in that interview process. Each member of the Othello City Council is invited to participate, and you'll need to let staff know if you're going to be able to attend those. I would strongly recommend you come to the open house on the night before so you can get to meet each of these candidates, on the 8th. I think that's a Wednesday evening. And
Tuesday.
I'm sorry, it's the 9th and 10th.
It isn't the 8th and 9th, it's the 9th and 10th. Okay. Thank you for keeping me straight. Thank you, Spencer. I'm sorry, the 9th and 10th. So that's on Wednesday night and Thursday of July. We used that process with the Prothman Group when we selected Wade as our next city administrator, and it's a similar process we'll use. This panel of people who will interview is going to be the city council, the mayor, staff will be Spencer, Terry from Public Works, and Debbie, the city clerk. We are going to include the David Rim and a line officer to participate in that process. We are going to include the county sheriff, the Gary Liebachen of the fire department. We're going to include the juvenile department, representative of the Chamber of Commerce, and a representative of the Lions Club and the Rotary Club, and also a district court judge. So it's going to be a large and diverse group. We're going to interview the candidates. Their names are Jesus Campa. Works for the Sheriff Department in El Paso, Texas. The second one is Kevin Fuhrer. He's the current police chief of Rathdrum, Idaho. He was a former Adams County Sheriff Deputy. The third one is Julius Phil Schenck. He is a assistant police chief for the city of Sunnyside. And the last one is William Spears, and he is from California. More information will be given on those. We intend to release to the public, to the newspaper, their backgrounds and their history. And so you guys will receive that probably in your next council packet, so that you can read up on who these men are. The Prothman Company will guide us through that process with sample questions, which will be read. Each of the panels will have set different questions for each of the candidates. And this process, it seems, has gone on for some time, but now we're about ready to accelerate it and select a new police chief. So that's the announcement I want to make with regard to our new police chief. And my last announcement tonight is that at the Othello Museum at 2 p.m. this Saturday, there is going to be an exhibit honoring the firefighters of this city and of the county. There's a lot of history. You've been reading the articles in the Othello Outlook. You've seen that a number of former people who fought famous fires in the city of Othello have contributed to some of this event. I unfortunately am going to be out of town. I have family coming and we're going to go to Seattle. So I won't be able to attend, but I would encourage anyone else in the audience or on the council to attend this event because it honestly, I think it's going to be very good and it'll also be very well attended. And I think our police chief, or I mean our fire chief, Gary Liebachen, would appreciate that as well. Right, Gary?
Yes. Much.
Yes, good. All right. I don't have any other announcements. So with that, I would like to adjourn tonight's meeting.
Thank you.